Welcome to the Elite Bulk Knowledge Podcast. I'm your host, Connor Gibson.
And I'm Tristan Shar.
I'm Matt Maroney.
And I'm Brady C.
Today, we'll be talking about all different kinds of sports injuries, such as concussions, ACL tears, and Achilles tears.
Yeah, so to begin, we'll dive into concussions. To define what a concussion is, it's a mild traumatic brain injury that affects brain function. These injuries are more common in physical sports, such as football. Hockey, and that'll be where you'll find most of them at. To dive into football a little bit, the NFL had recently attempted to lower their concussion rate, through guardian caps, which are protection padding that you wear on the outside of your helmet. And that'll add an extra layer of padding that's already within the helmet, to help protect the brain from all those physical hits. So on guardiansports.com, which is the official website of the Guardian Cap, they recently did a study about how concussions are down 17% from 2023 during the 2024 season, which is a historic low. And the 2024 season was the first season that players were eligible to wear these Guardian Caps during regular season games. And since then, they've been mandated during practices. Every position except for a quarterback, a kicker, and a punter has to wear the guardian cap on the outside of their helmet just to protect themselves or give themselves an extra layer of protection.
Now, how common is it to see a player wear a guardian cap during the game? Because from what I've seen, I've only seen what, two or three players. I can name Romeo Doubs, and that's the only one I can think of off the top of my head. How many players have worn these guardian caps?
Like you said, not many. I don't know if I can really list off that much more. But I think players care a lot about the aesthetic part of their game and, the photos after the game, and they want to look cool, look good, feel good, play good is kind of the motto they go by. However, some players do care about the protection and, their long-term safety, because concussions can lead to traumatic brain effects down the line. So not nearly as common as you would like to see, but hopefully that'll take an increase here soon.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think that the aesthetic look is kind of like a big thing with the guardian caps. I know a lot of these athletes that kind of have, the high egos and stuff like that. They don't want to be seen as quote unquote soft in wearing a guardian cap. So that's something that should be taken note as well.
Yeah, then there are some of those players, for example, when Devon Achane, the running back for the Miami Dolphins, got injured last year with a concussion, he came back weeks later when he was cleared to play, and I noticed he did wear one for a couple of weeks there until I guess he felt he no longer needed to, but just for that extra protection, just to make sure that, I mean, as a running back, that's a very high contact position for sure. On the field, so I understand why he would from that point.
Yeah, to add on to that, sorry, Tristan, to add on to that, like you said, Devon Achane wore one when he came back from a concussion. Josh Hines-Allen did the same thing, the defensive end for the Jaguars last year. He suffered a concussion in week four, and then week five against the Colts, he decided to wear a guardian cap just to be safe. Maybe he was rushed back a little bit, just wanted to take that extra layer of precaution. So that certainly helped him. But afterwards, after week five, the next week, and throughout the rest of the year, he didn't wear it again. So certainly interesting.
I was going to talk about Josh Hines-Allen too, Brady. That's a good point because we're talking about the like how good these guardian caps are, and the players, you can tell they're slowly getting acclimated to it. We're seeing it a little more often. We aren't seeing it a lot, but we are seeing it more. So I mean, it's so, like the pr studies are proving that they work. So yeah.
And then Matt, as a hockey player, is there any risk of concussion in hockey? Because obviously it's a very contact heavy sport. Could you shed some light on that, please?
Yeah, absolutely. I found an article on NPR.org that caught my attention, and it's titled "Longer Careers in Ice Hockey Are Linked to a Greater Risk of CTE," a new study found, and that was published in December on December 4th of 2024. Just reading into it, I found it really interesting. it seems to be that in hockey you can because of all the contact and constant body checking, you can obtain a concussion a lot easier than you would think. Even some going unnoticed. According to that study, more than half of the hockey players studied were found to have CTE. They did a biopsy over dis on deceased players. The study published examined the brains of 77 deceased male hockey players who experienced the sport and ranged from youth hockey through professional play. But I was reading more into it and found that one of the players had even said that was interviewed. He had been, he thinks throughout his career, he had been concussed over more than 20 times, and with only it being diagnosed 2 times and out of those 20 that he believed to have. So it just shows just how much contact happens in the league, how these things can come sometimes go unnoticed, maybe if players don't necessarily feel symptomatic of a concussion. They may not say anything. Another big thing is recently, since 2011, there was a one of the rules that got changed in hockey of making contact from behind illegal, like cross checks to the head. So that is something they had done, the NHL itself, to hopefully take down the risk, or sorry, the high risk of those concussions occurring. As myself, I'm a goalie myself. I don't really find too many situations where it would be dangerous for me, but I understand as a player, constant contact is always happening, and it could lead to a lot more concussions.
Have you seen any of your fellow teammates like get any concussions?
I have not before. No. They're I've never witnessed. And it's funny because in my, playing collegiate hockey now for UNF's club hockey team, there that league is like no other I've played in before. It's very competitive. It's very high contact. And I am actually surprised now that I haven't seen anything like it before in terms of concussions. But it's a good thing. So.
And Matt, I kind of want to keep the mic on you real quick before we move over to like the lower leg injuries. With you being like a Dolphins fan and Tua being the quarterback, you kind of want to talk to us about like Tua and his concussions.
Yeah, absolutely. So Tua Tagovailoa, Miami Dolphins quarterback. I myself, yeah, like Tristan said, I am a Dolphins fan. I have watched what he has gone through his career firsthand, necessarily even live. I really don't miss Dolphin games. So Tua got hurt, I believe, with his first concussion 3 years ago. When it started, it was against the Buffalo Bills. I remember the exact play. I believe it was Matt Milano that had brought him down for a sack, and he had hit the back of his head. It was clear as day he hit the back of his head, and when he got up, I remember watching him be woozy for sure and kind of stumbling. He did get brought off the field, but was later returned. And it spiked a lot of interest and controversy in, should he have gone back into that game? He did go back into that game. He finished the game, and Dolphins won that game. But nonetheless, it kind of seemed like it was maybe a rush process. And then to go into the following week, where the Dolphins would end up playing the Bengals, early on in that game, he got sacked again, and this time he also smacked his head again on the ground and immediately went into what has been called like a fencing position, where your hands are kind of get really stiff and arms go stiff, where he was unable to move from that position for a while there, and he was later carted off the field. And so it just there was a lot of work sorry, there's a lot of controversy again with what was the process that they took, that the NFL took to clear Tua. Correct. And or was it rushed? And I absolutely believe it was, because he had sorry, he had taken a lot of time.
Yeah, so going off what you said, Matt, I have an article here by TMZ Sports. They interviewed Dr. Bennett Omalu, who's a brain expert. And he kind of talked about how he did some studies and just research on this Tua injury because, again, he kept getting concussions coming back. There's a lot of question about whether he should retire or not. And he flat out came out and just said that if he had any say in this at all, he would tell him that he needs to retire immediately, not just for like the sake of himself, but also the family as well. He's married and he has multiple kids, and CTE and concussions are not something to be playing with. Another part of this article, he goes on to say that another significant blow to his brain, and he could become permanently incapacitated. Sorry if I said that wrong, but that's just not something to deal with, or not something to mess around with your brain. That's like the most important part of your body. So,
Yeah,
yeah, I
just
want
to,
to. Oh,
sorry.
go ahead.
No, just to piggyback off of what we were talking about with guardian caps, that is one player that has elected to not proceed to put one on in any sort of game. I don't know what he believes that, why he shouldn't have it on, because he last season, just last season, he was concussed again and missed a lot of time. So, and I think that had to have been what was maybe his fourth, like, diagnosed concussion.
Yeah,
So
he's been one of those stubborn players for sure. I feel like just not wanting to do it.
in a recent example, the New York Giants played the Philadelphia Eagles last Thursday, and there was a scare to where the quarterback for the Giants, Jackson Dart, had a concussion. Only issue is that it seemed as if he was rushed back too quickly, and also the coach, Brian Daboll, looked inside the medical tent, which the coaches are not allowed to do during the examinations. And because of that, now the Giants are possibly facing a major fine, or even, depends on how bad the circumstance is, can lead to a loss of a NFL draft pick.
Yeah, I want to just pick up on this real quick because this happened a couple years back for the Seattle Seahawks. Russell Wilson, they were playing against the Arizona Cardinals on a primetime game. So millions of people are watching, the cameras are on, and Russell Wilson goes down with a head injury. Clearly hits the ground extremely hard. He goes into the blue tent. It's clear as day that he has a concussion, but he forces himself back onto the field, which is a big no-go in the NFL. And Seattle ended up actually getting fined later on that week, for that. So the NFL does, take these concussions serious, but it's more of just these organizations that need to, more worry about these players' health instead of, focusing on getting wins, I feel like.
So speaking of the Giants, they are under a lot of hot water when we talk about lower body injuries because of the turf field they play on at MetLife Stadium. A recent example is Malik Nabers, their all-star receiver, all-pro receiver, was having a great season, and then in the middle of one of his routes, he tore his ACL. Now, MetLife is known for having bad turf. You can also have SoFi Stadium, which is the LA and the Chargers stadium. You also have Allegiant Stadium, which is the Las Vegas Raiders one. And there's a couple other around the NFL that have been getting in hot water because they are scheduled to host World Cup games next year when the World Cup comes to the US and Canada and Mexico in 2026. And they are changing the field from turf to grass.
Yeah, so the one big thing about the difference between the turf and the natural grass is a lot of the soccer players over in Europe, European football, as you want to call it, they play on strictly natural grass. There's no turf overseas. And the one reason that for that is because of the natural grass has like a softer landing. Landing on the grass, running soccer, you're always running, never not on your feet. When you're landing on the grass, it's more of like a softer landing, like I said, easy. Is the strain on the players' musculoskeletal systems, during like slide tackles, falling, and all of that. And that ultimately reduces immediate injuries, unlike turf, which is honestly very hard. And I'm pretty sure a lot of stadiums actually have concrete underneath, not strictly underneath the turf, but there is concrete underneath the turf. So that's just a harder landing that these players are falling on. So I feel like that's one of the biggest reasons why a lot of these players are actually refusing to play in the World Cup if they don't switch over from turf to natural grass. And it looks like they will be.
Now, with ACL injuries, the ACL is a joint inside your knee, and what happens is that the you have different muscles in your knee. You do the ACL, the MCL, and it's different tendons within your knee, and they can tear based on just either contact injuries or non-contact injuries. Such examples are Ronald Acuna, who plays for the Atlanta Braves in the Major League Baseball. You have Derrick Rose, who was a Chicago Bulls point guard who tore his ACL in the middle of a playoff game. You also have several other players, but what we can also talk about is basketball. Is basketball has had a recent uptick in Achilles injuries.
Yes, they have, Connor. A great example would be just this recent postseason in the NBA. We saw three players tear their Achilles alone, which would be the Bucks guard Damian Lillard, Pacers guard Tyrese Haliburton, and Celtics forward Jason Tatum all tore their Achilles just in that postseason. But it goes further back, obviously, in playing basketball is such a fast sport. You use your fast twitch muscles a lot. So you can go back to players like Kobe Bryant tearing his in, like, I believe 2014, or even recently like the Kevin Durant Achilles tear, which he rebounded pretty nicely from. I believe, Connor, you have some more on that.
Yeah, so Kevin Durant tore his Achilles during the 2019 finals when he was on the Golden State Warriors. It was in game, I want to say five. He tore his Achilles. Now, granted, at the time, the fans were cheering the idea of Kevin Durant, who is one of the best players of all time, tore his Achilles. Obviously, that's not a great thing. You shouldn't root on everyone's downfall. But it's just being helped. He said his foot didn't feel attached, and then it was basically said that the doctors moved around his Achilles. Nothing moved. Like you couldn't feel anything. Basically said that this is he Kevin Durant believed that his injury was career ending. Now Kevin Durant, however, is a very unique player to where he is around 7 foot tall, but plays as if he is a 6 foot three point guard. He shoots all over the court. Is very shifty, and obviously you have to change that. You have to change on how the way you play, and so he. Is only one of the very few examples of players who tore their Achilles and came back arguably better than when he like before the injury. And also speaking of famous Achilles injuries within the last couple of years, Aaron Rodgers. He is currently the quarterback for the Pittsburgh Steelers, but at the time when he tore his Achilles, he was on the New York Jets. Funnily enough, he was what, two plays into his New York Jets career? Right, Matt?
Yeah, Connor. He took about two snaps into his very first debut game with the New York Jets, which I believe was the game was on 9/11. So it was a huge buildup of a game, or yeah, of a start to a game, with hopefully a new face at quarterback for the Jets to hopefully take over for them and have a great season. And unfortunately enough, he did go down on a non-contact injury as well. And fell right to the ground. To build on it, Aaron Rodgers' recovery that year was very interesting. I had actually watched the documentary on Netflix called The Aaron Rodgers Enigma. And on one of the first episodes, they went into depth, or Aaron Rodgers went into depth of how he recovered from that injury. And he actually had a chance to return in that season. He very well believed that, he would come back, had the Jets had a chance to make the playoffs, and if they were good enough as a team, that he was going to make that effort and get back to the football field. I watched during the documentary him talk with a bunch of doctors, and he was pushing very hard to make sure he was doing whatever he could to be on the fastest track to recovery. And, for a quarterback of his age too, I thought it was very impressive. Aaron Rodgers is a veteran quarterback, has been in the league for a lot of years now. And he's probably coming toward to the end of his career sooner or later, but he was absolutely determined and was doing everything in his power to return to that season.
Yes, there is very many there's very many I'm sorry. There's a lot of different examples we can bring up, but I do apologize, ladies and gentlemen, that is all the time we have for today. I appreciate y'all listening, and y'all have a great day.